Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebelt. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey, hey man. How are you?
Yeah, doing good. How am I talking to you? Are you both behind one mic, or how are you guys doing this?
We just got lab mics.
Yeah, can you hear us fine?
We got two lab mics. I'm just switching the microphone over. 1 second. How's that? Is that any better?
Yeah. I can hear you guys. I'm curious how you do the interviews when it's two people. Are you just switching off, like hand the mic off, like freestylers, or how is it going on?
Well, we use Ohio, but now we're just using lab mics.
Yeah, when we do our own stuff, just like the two of us, this should make it sound a little bit better. Right now, we're just going through the laptop mic, so.
Much less echo now. I mean, much less echo, yeah, so this is really good. Is it two mics?
We're just plugging two labs into a mixer and then going into our laptop.
Very cool. Okay, I was wondering how you guys did that in one room.
Yeah.
So you guys moved to Canada, I remember, and then someone told me that you picked up and left again. What's going on?
It was fine in Canada, but I don't know, it was a little bit boring. So we just wanted to go somewhere we would enjoy a lot more, because like our business is going to keep growing over time. But if we don't like a place, like what's the point in staying there long term? So we want to actually put ourselves in places that we actually enjoy. So we're actually moving down to Mexico in 6 weeks from now.
And I think operative word was just fine.
So I just want to make this clear, because on the documentary, you two were the ones saying that it's good to settle down to grow the business. So give me the update now. What's the updated version of that?
The update is we are still settling down. We're just making our way down to Mexico so we can settle down.
Yeah, we just can't pick a place to settle down.
Well, Vancouver was fine, but it was just like, I don't know, like there weren't that many entrepreneurs there, like online entrepreneurs doing what we're doing. And we love the sun, right? So Vancouver is in darkness half of the year. So yeah, we tried out. We got like a lot of work done and stuff like that. But the reality was we just weren't happy there. So we're like, why don't we just settle down? But let's go put ourselves in a place where we actually enjoy.
Yeah.
And then we'll want to stay there.
And I wouldn't call it settling down. I just call it getting a base.
Getting a base. We're not settling down. Yeah.
Also, like who we were on that documentary, I feel like it's night and day from what we are today. Like watching it, I'm just like, I feel like I was talking out of my ass.
Yeah. There. Which part?
Well, just like my opinions have evolved, things that I value have evolved, the way we approach business has evolved, our offers have evolved. So much, like just so many different things.
Okay. Let's start tackling them. So I'll help you out. So you've been working as a couple.
Are we recording right
always
now?
I'm recording. At the end, I'll ask you if I should take anything out.
Oh,
but I just go right in. No, yeah. It's okay. My listeners love it. They actually want real conversations. They don't want to just have us act like we're recording this.
Well,
okay.
Good.
Well, will you at least cut out our audio
or
shit?
Yeah, don't worry about it. But anyways, let's get into the question. So you've been working together as a couple for another year since we filmed that documentary. How has that evolved? Give me some new insights.
So we're still working together, and I actually think that maybe our business relationship has become even better because we have a little bit more clarity as to each of our roles are in the business. So I think things have kind of improved in that sense. Our business model has also kind of changed a bit as well. So before we screw the 9 to 5, we were looking at kind of like selling content, which is 99% of online marketers are doing these days. But we've just recently transitioned into a continuity program or into a membership site, which we just launched a couple of months ago. It's called Screw You. And that stands for Screw University, not Screw You in
general. Not Screw You, Tom.
So we launched that. People actually need support in this particular industry that we're in. So in like the online business industry, they need support more so than they need content, because information is fairly easy to go and gather. It's not that hard to do. Mm-hmm. But the challenging part is what happens when shit hits a fan? What do you do? If you don't have that support network, it makes it really hard to continue. And what business is mostly about, in my opinion, is just putting in as much time as you can, getting that experience, and over time, things will start to click. And if you don't have the support network around you, you're probably going to end up stopping. You might jump back into it later, but in reality, you're just wasting time by doing that.
Well, and I think also like surrounding yourself with people who are where you want to be and really getting clarity from them and feedback and bouncing ideas from them or off them, that is instrumental in this journey and being able to provide that in one centralized location so that people aren't bouncing all over the damn place trying to find people that click with them. Instead, we solved that problem and tried to create a community that's hyper engaged and incredibly supportive.
So what you're saying is if you have a question, right, you don't necessarily have to go and consume a bunch of content until you get the answer.
You can just literally directly post, ask the source.
Yeah, in the forum where there's more experienced members and they're going to give you an answer straight away. Like that's so much better than selling information, which well, too many people are just focusing on that side of things as opposed to building a community because communities are far more powerful in my opinion.
Well, it depends for different people. Like some people just like doing the one-off courses and that's cool, that works for them. For us, we realized after a lot of trial and error that our strength is truly building a community. That is our biggest strength. That is where we excel.
Yeah.
So we just doubled down on that and went all in.
Yeah, and superpower, it's not like we're like Superman and Wonder Woman. It's like, this is our superpower. It's just
I just mean it's our strength.
It's like, yeah, this is just what comes natural.
So how do you support the members other than just answering questions and having other members answer questions?
Well, we have two live calls a month. So we have one that's pure hot seats. So we take four different members each month and we do a mastermind with them. So they pre-submit what it is they want feedback on and what they're feeling challenged by. Josh and I take a few hours and dive into that and really help them out that way. And then we have a Q&A call. And then we do have like training courses and all that sort of stuff inside the membership. But then there's the whole community element to it. So it's not purely focused on us. Like, yes, we're there to give guidance and support and answer questions. But there's the whole other aspect where they can ask other members who might have different viewpoints to us. Like there's some pretty great members in our community that are killing it in their business and have different opinions, different experiences to us. And they lend a whole other perspective to these people that helps them give a more rounded view. And they can pick and choose which way they want to go or what they want to test in their business.
Well, Jill, they're just better than us. They just know more than we do. For example,
you're not telling this very well. They're better than us.
Well, that's the truth. That's the honest truth. That's what we're building. We want to build a network of people who are better than us at different areas because we can also learn from them. We can do business with them too. A good example of that is a lady inside of our membership and she started a Facebook ads agency, right? So it's just her and one other person in her business right now, but she's generating six figures a year. She knows so much more about Facebook ads than I know. I feel like I know quite a bit, but I don't know as much as her because she's spending all her time inside of the ads dashboard, keeping up to date with what's going on. If they come up with new updates, she knows exactly what it is. She's testing on all her clients, so she gets to get feedback on that.
She geeks out over numbers.
She geeks out of it. So whenever anyone has a question about Facebook ads inside the community, we just tag her in it and then she'll come in and write the most ridiculously awesome response to whatever those questions are. And that's something that you can't really get if you're just selling information.
That makes sense. You initially started with the Screw the 9-to-5. So that was for newbies, right?
Well, Screw the 9-to-5 is our overarching brand. So we still have that. Screw You is just our core offer.
Yes, but that's more for newbies from what I understand.
Well, for anywhere from like newbies to intermediate. But we want to start attracting people who are already in their business, like who are in the game, who have been doing this for a while, who might not be so amped up and emotional around like, holy shit, my whole life is changing. I don't know what to expect. This is scary. What do I do? Blah, blah, blah. Like you're a bit more emotional. Whereas the people who have a few years under their belt, they're like, okay, I know what's happening here. This is just like a growth process, or this is this challenge, or I have to get over this by doing this. You know what I mean? Like they're a bit more seasoned.
I just called it jaded.
Jaded or seasoned, whichever way you want to go. I mean, Screw the 9-to-5 just by the overall sound of it. Like, yes, it's always going to attract people who are in their 9-to-5s.
Not necessarily.
But we want to make it a place where people who are just like they adopt it as a lifestyle almost. Like, I'm not down with the whole corporate working for someone else kind of thing.
I feel like it can mean whatever to whoever. So if you're not in a 9-to-5 right now, saying screw the 9-to-5 is kind of like, yeah, I've already screwed my 9-to-5. Like, I believe in everything you guys are saying. And the reality is, this is how content works online, right? If you have a site, if you have a blog or anything, you're putting content out there. So you might be putting a podcast out there, you might be putting videos out there, you might be putting blog posts out there. Whatever the subject matter is of that content, you're going to attract that particular audience, right? So if you're putting out newbie material, you'll attract newbies, basically. So if you're putting out like how to start a blog, you're going to attract people who have never started a blog before. Whereas if you're putting out how to create a sales funnel, for example, that's our latest post on our site, then you're going to attract people who are in a position where they already have an audience, but they're looking to kind of like convert that audience into more customers, then they'll be interested in that particular subject matter. So that's what we're kind of finding initially when we started out, because we were kind of newbies as well. When we first started through the 9 to 5. We were putting content out there that was pretty newbie related because we didn't know any better. Whereas over time, we've started to develop our skills with our business and other businesses that we started. So we're starting to put out better material that's more in line with people who are intermediate to advanced online marketers. And they're the type of people that we want to bring into our audience anyway. A couple of reasons. One, we want to do business with those people. And two, they're just better to deal with as far as customers go, because they're not, like what Jill said, they're not like stressed out. They're not worrying about how they're going to make ends meet. They already know what they're doing and they're making money.
Yeah, I was
right
wondering
now
how that newbie market was treating you. I mean, I wouldn't want to deal with it, but I thought maybe you hit something which maybe you create some kind of a system that worked for them. So I was really wondering about that. But I guess you haven't. That's why you want to deal with business owners. But tell me, from the newbies that you did have, what are the traits that you've seen in the ones that succeeded versus the ones that failed?
Desire is the number one thing. So I've just started a business inside of Screw You with one of the other members in there. We're jumping into the nootropic space, which is like the brain supplements industry. I told everyone, like, submit a video application telling me why you think you would be a good person to work with. And so I've got like 10 or 15 responses from that. And then I went through, I picked three people, and then I got on a Skype call with him. And I'm picking one guy. He's like a younger guy. But then once we started, I could see that he was a little bit distracted because he had a full-time job as well. He was working from home with his full-time job, but he didn't really have the amount of desire that I was expecting. And I think it was because he just went to work from home. And then something happened with his job, actually told him that he can't go into the nootropic space because he was actually in the health industry. So they were like, yeah, you can't do this. So you kind of got screwed because of that. So then I said, okay, who was the next person I was going to pick? And over the course of the last month or two, he's been working his ass off. He has just been building sites. He's been working every spare minute of the day, making sure that he's moving forward with his business. And he has that desire. They're the types of people that I know they have the ability to succeed, because you can learn skills over time. It's not that hard to learn skills, but to have desire, that's really hard. You have to go through a lot of painful moments in order to create that leverage, that desire to want to be successful. So it's really hard to teach someone how to have desire.
Yeah, I think there's so much to do with attitude versus a skill set. Like, it really, truly sets people apart.
Interesting. Describe your marketing and sales funnel for me for Screw the 9 to 5 and the Screw You products.
So, Josh, do you want to do that? This is like his system that he's all about right now.
So we have screwthe9to5.com, which is like our free content site, right? It's kind of like our freemium model. What we'll do is we'll create these particular sales funnels, and it starts with a free piece of content on your website. Before that, you need to understand what the core issues or interests are that your audience is having. So let's take the nootropic space. We know that some of the things that those people are interested in are focus. They're interested in memory enhancement. They're interested in energy. They're actually interested in weight loss, which is kind of weird. But there's all these different interests that they have. What we'll do is write an amazing piece of content on our site based around nootropics and focus, like what types of nootropics can help improve focus, for example. So we'll drive traffic normally from Facebook directly to that blog post, and then we'll create a lead magnet, which is step two. It's like a free giveaway to get people on your email list. And it's usually related to that particular subject matter. Let's say the post was like about using nootropics to enhance focus. The lead magnet could be a downloadable stack recipe. So it's like, what different supplements can you put together in terms of like a stack recipe that you take on a daily basis that will help to enhance your focus? So that would be like the free downloadable. From there, we'll then look into creating like an introductory offer. So it's kind of a way or a chance for people to upgrade and purchase a low-cost product. And the low-cost product, they're normally like less than $20, because the goal of it is to change it from an email prospect into a customer. That's all we're really trying to do here. We're not trying to make a lot of money from them. And then after that, the next chance to upgrade is to purchase your core offer. So in the case of Screw the 9 to 5, we have our membership site, which is Screw You. So it's kind of like they'll purchase one particular product, a particular introductory offer based around solving one problem. And then after that, we'll say, hey, instead of just buying all these courses separately or whatever, why don't you just come and join our community? Because you get access to all these courses and a hell of a lot more because we have this, this, and this, and this, and this in our community as well. So that's the process. Just to recap, the read magnet on the front end, which is like your free piece of content, then your lead magnet to get people opted into your email list, and then you pitch a low-cost introductory offer, and then you pitch your main core offer.
And I think the real key to that to realize is that all of those things have to string together. Like they all have to be relevant. So your lead magnet is relevant to your read magnet, and your introductory offer is relevant to your lead
magnet.
Makes
sense. If you throw, let's say, 1,000 people at the content from Facebook, what are the conversions like? What percentage of the people go through the lead magnet to the first offer to the second? I'm just kind of curious on the conversions on that.
You're looking at 10% taking up the lead magnet, so 10% opt-in, because we actually retarget those people as well on Facebook. So we'll retarget anyone who's visited that page but hasn't signed up for the lead magnet. And then your introductory offer, you're looking around about 10% conversion on those. And then there's a really high conversion rate from the introductory offer to the core offer that can get up to as high as 20%.
Interesting. Jill, I know you're in charge of the autoresponder. What's your strategy behind that? Do you come up with this like a month in advance? Like how do you work the autoresponder?
Well, my main tip for anything email related is just to write like you speak. Like, I don't know what you mean. Like the content I write?
The frequency, the topics, which ones will I give some content away? Which ones will I try selling something in? Just the overall vision.
Okay, so we're in the process of completely overhauling this and just going straight into like the sales funnels that Josh just broke down. But right now, because we're in this massive transition, we still have one of our opt-ins is a free online business program. So that was a 10-day program. So every day they got a video and a workbook or a worksheet, sorry, and like a little email that says, this is what you're going to learn and here are your other opportunities. So that was daily. With our new sales funnel, it's spread out every 2 days or so, but it's much shorter and much punchier. So we've kind of adopted the mindset right now, at least that seems to be working for us, that we want to get people in and out. Like we want to give quick wins. We want to give quick and dirty kind of digestible content that they can take and implement straight away. So I don't like to draw out series as much as I used to. I think this has just been an evolution of figuring out like what works and seeing what people are resonating with. So we noticed in our free online business program that around like day 6, people started dropping off because they have all these lessons. And while most of them are short and punchy, they're probably getting to the point where they're like, oh my God, there's still more. And it's information overload. So we tried to cut back on that. So we give them the read magnet. So that's like this monster blog post. And then the lead magnet is quick and consumable. So for example, we just had one go up today and it's called How to Create a Dangerously Effective Sales Funnel for Your Business. And my lead magnet is my emails that I use. So most people, at least in my group, they always want to know, well, what do you say in your emails? Like, how do you get people to take up your tripwire? How do you get people to convert to your core offer? So I was like, what if I just give them the emails and they can use that as inspiration? So it's kind of a plug and play situation. Now, will this change for every single funnel? Absolutely. Like I'm going to try and get as creative as I can for all the different lead magnets. I want to keep changing it up and keeping it just like dynamic and not always stale. You know what I mean? But for length, I never think that there's a hard and fast rule for that. Like you just got to figure out what works for your audience, your brand, your business, and what you're trying to do. Like I always used to just try and follow what others were doing. And one big revelation we've had this year is that we need to figure out what works for us and for our people. And we've done that mostly through our Facebook group. Like I just ask people questions all the time. Like, what do you want me to talk about? What questions do you have? What do you want to learn about? And we use all of that and we plug it into our business. So I think that's been our biggest revelation is like, just figure out what works for you and find the people's business models that resonate with you and see what they're doing and how you can kind of make that your own. So I'm not too worried about like the ins and outs of how many days is an autoresponder? What do I deliver here? I always try to give away 90% of our best stuff and charge for the other 10%. That's kind of the rule I live and die by. To say like your autoresponder has to be 5 emails and it has to span over 10 days. Like, no, you just got to figure out what works for you. Like test 5 emails. And if people drop off after 3, maybe consider doing 3 emails. I mean, like you just got to see what works and what clicks and then adjust to that.
Yeah, we definitely find that having short sequences is far more effective. People drop off very quickly in the online business space, that's for sure. Probably because it's so saturated in terms of email. So what we do is we have an immediate follow-up and then we have an email that goes out the next day. And that's just pure teaching, right? We call that the one thing. So it's kind of like one particular lesson that we haven't mentioned so far. And it's like a really important lesson related to that topic. Yeah, so we don't pitch anything at all at that point. And then the next day, we'll send another email out that lets them know that they can upgrade to get the entire course related to whatever the subject matter is. And then we'll do one more pitch. And if they don't take up the offer at that point, we'll then look into other measures. So at that point, we'll kind of push them off into like a nurture sequence. Every single week, we come out with new podcast episodes. We send out a weekly newsletter and there's opportunities for them to go down different sales funnels. It's like re-engaging them essentially in different funnels. So if maybe they're not interested in the sales funnel material, but maybe they're interested in learning about Facebook ads. So we'll send them a link to go check out a blog post related to Facebook ads. And then they have the opportunity to sign up for that lead magnet there and then go down that sales funnel.
Interesting. What strategies are you using to grow the Facebook group?
So here's a few things we do. One, we have a button right on our top navigation bar that says free FB group that drives a lot. Secondly, we always have it on our thank you pages. So if anyone signs up to anything, we have a link saying, come join our free Facebook group. I put it on all my social profile bios. I put it in any bios that I do for interviews or guest posts, any kind of features. We also plug it on every single podcast episode we have.
Pretty much
in our
everything.
Indoctrination emails. Like I blast it everywhere.
Pretty much everything.
Yeah.
Because we actually want to get people in that Facebook community. And there's so many reasons why, right? So the reach with email is certainly going down drastically since the different providers came out with like the promotions folder, which you pretty much go in there straight away now. So we found that our general reach with a Facebook group is really, really high. So if we post something up, it's probably going to be seen by a large percentage of those members. The other reason why it's so powerful is when you have those people in there, they will actually be more likely to share your free content and attend your webinars. So mm-hmm. we run webinars regularly. Plus, you can use them for market research purposes. And this is where it's so powerful. If you don't know what people want, right, all you have to do is list out a bunch of things they're interested in. Then what you'll do is you'll take those different interests and you'll run polls inside of your Facebook group and then you'll let people vote. So let's say we take this screw, for example. We knew that they wanted to learn about sales funnels, Facebook groups, copywriting, and webinars. So we created a poll that listed out those 4 different options and then we let people vote on them. And the overwhelming majority of people voted on sales funnels. So we're like, okay, we need to create content around sales funnels now because mm-hmm. that's what they're really interested
in. You also mentioned the podcast. I'm curious, what are some methods that you're using to get people from the podcast onto your website?
Well, to be honest, if I have to choose between getting them on my website or getting them into my Facebook group, right now I'd choose to get them in my Facebook group because I'm in there every damn day. I have, like, I hope this doesn't sound boastful, but I have like a killer community of crazy supportive members.
That was super boastful, by the way.
Super.
Who are willing to share our stuff. They're willing to support other people, welcome them into the community, answer their questions. And I find that people are much more interested in then going to my site or then checking out our emails or hopping on our webinars or reading our content because I've already warmed them up to a certain degree. So we use our podcast to direct people into our group versus our website.
How do we do that?
Like I said, we use the end of our show intro to plug the group.
So
and
what
talk
we do,
about it in every single episode, pretty much.
What we do, because you can't say, go to facebook.com/group/179456, whatever. So what we do is we register a domain, which is called screwcommunity.com, and then we'll redirect that domain to the Facebook page or the Facebook group. So then on our podcast, we say, if you want to come hang out with us on Facebook, just go to screwcommunity.com. It's much easier for them to remember. They'll just type in screwcommunity.com, takes them directly to the Facebook group, and they can request access from there. So that's how we transition them from our podcast into our Facebook group.
I'm big on control. Don't you worry a little bit about Facebook controlling your community and having kind of them in their database and not your database?
Well, because I constantly put my free content in there and our podcasts and our different opportunities. Like if they're getting on a webinar, they're getting on my list. If they're reading our lead magnets, we're pixeling that page and retargeting them anyways. And we have a whole bunch of opt-in opportunities. Plus, to be honest, like I have a bunch of people who come into my group and kind of promote the hell out of the screw for me. Not because I'm asking them to, just because they dig it. So I don't even have to push anything that hard. Like it's not like our list isn't growing because we're pushing them into our Facebook group. But I also think that a lot of people are becoming a bit more protective over their email address because there's so much bullshit out there. So I would much rather have them come into a community so that they can see that we're legit, that we care, and that we actually want to help them, and then get them onto my email list. That way they're actually opening my freaking emails versus just deleting us or unsubscribing and marking as spam.
By the way, these aren't our customers. So these are like free community members. Okay, so we're more so in the business of acquiring customers. So Facebook doesn't own our customer base. We own our customer base. Mm-hmm. We're just using the Facebook groups platform as a way of transitioning some of those people into customers as well. I would be worried if I just was using my Facebook group as like a paid platform. Yeah, I'd
be worried. How do you come up with ideas for the podcast other than asking people in the group?
Well, we'll talk about what are we going through right now that we think would be super helpful, or what are we experiencing that we would have loved to know when we were first starting out. And if we can't think of something that we think could be quite hot, then we hit our group. Like I do so much through that group. Like I'm not just going to sit there and wing it and guess at anything anymore. Like I feel like that was the first 2 years of our business. And because we did that, because we just assumed and guessed, like it was a struggle, man. And now that we have this kind of asset in that group, this community, this family, I just go directly to the source. Like I'm not just going to waste my time being like, I wonder if this will hit. No, that's what we did for the first 2 years of our business. And I'm so freaking over that.
I think we also think in terms of like who is the type of customer that we want to acquire. So as I said before, like your content is going to attract a particular audience. So we'll think, okay, what is a piece of content that we can put out there that's going to attract our ideal customer? So we discovered that there's certain interests that they have, right? So they probably have a business right now, but they're interested in kind of taking it to the next level. Like they want to go from low six figures to like high six figures, maybe seven figures. Like that's what they want to do, right? So we need to deliver content based around those specific needs. So maybe they don't know how to sell sales funnels. Maybe they don't know how to do advanced traffic methods, for example.
Or
systems or hiring or any of those kind of things that are going to appeal to that particular customer because they are the type of people that we want to attract into Screw You.
Well, when you first started, you kind of had to assume because you didn't have traction yet. You didn't have enough people in your community. So How would you have speeded that up to stop assuming so much in the beginning? Is there a way of doing that you can think of?
At the start, it's very easy to be caught up in wanting to make money straight away because you're kind of scared. You're like, I'm not making any money. Like, this is not going to work. But what I would say is do your best to hold off on just trying to like acquire money because what happens is you start jumping from opportunity to opportunities. We call it like shiny object syndrome, essentially. You're like, oh, this isn't working fast enough. I'm going to try this now. And then I'm going to try this. I'm going to try Amazon. Now I'm going to try selling e-courses. I'm going to try and dropship. I'm going to try affiliate marketing. So you jump from thing to thing. The first thing you need to do is just focus on trying to acquire an audience. That's it. So go out and do like a ton of guest blogging. Start a blog. Just start getting people following you. Start a Facebook group if you can. Whatever you do, just start acquiring an audience around whatever brand it is that you're focusing on. Then over time, as you have that audience, you can just listen in and ask them what they're most interested in. And then you can start delivering solutions to those particular problems in the form of your products and services.
Brilliant. Jill, are you going to step in too?
I think awesome. You nailed it.
If people want to find you and reach out to you, where could they go?
Well, just come on into screwcommunity.com.
That's it.
That's all we have that domain.
Let's hang out online.
Awesome. I'm seeing the game now. I see how
right?
you play this, yes.
How easy was that?
You see the benefit there.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.